lost their parents. Little children that had to be kept in orphanages. And I heard a story of some of these little children. They said at night they would cry themselves to sleep. And everything that they could do, they weren't able to figure out how to keep them from crying at night. And finally, someone came up with the idea that they went around to these kids and they give every child a piece of bread. One piece of bread. And when they gave them the bread, they would lay down and they would hold that piece of bread and they would go to sleep without crying. Because the reason they went to sleep crying is they were afraid tomorrow they would be hungry. I've heard that Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where it can find bread. Amen. Here's why there are no orphans of God. Because it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never be outside of God's touch and God's reach. You might think you're unworthy. You might think that I've done too much. And I want to tell you something. There's war going on in these places that creates orphans. I want to tell you, war in your house will create orphans too. When you bring things in your house that ought not to be in your house and you're not living your life and conducting your house according to what God's will is, it makes orphans. I want to say one thing. I got just a couple of announcements before I get into Scripture. One, I was handed some good news just a minute ago about Samaritan's Purse. You know, it costs $9 this year just for shipping. Things are going up. But praise the Lord, somebody has stepped forward and they said, for every box we'll lay on this altar, somebody's going to pay the shipping. Okay? So all you got to do is go fill that box up, shoe box, plastic box, you bring it, the shipping's paid. Praise God. Now, one more thing, and then we're going to open the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Next Tuesday is Election Day. Christians need to vote. Now, I said one time to my Sunday school class, I said, I'm going to tell y'all how to vote today. They just kind of looked at me. Well, if a preacher can't tell you how to vote, he ain't worth his salt. Okay? Now, here's how you vote. You don't vote a party, and you don't vote a person. You vote an issue. Let me tell you, you can vote for that candidate that's pro-life. You see, I saw a bumper sticker and it just jumped off the car at me. It said, pro-choice Christians giving Jesus Christ a bad name since 1973. How in the world can anybody say I'm saved by the grace of God and go vote pro-choice? You can't. How can anybody say they're saved by the grace of God and vote for a candidate that's going to allow your little girl to be in a bathroom and a boy walk in there and say, my name is Susie, and it be all right? It's not all right. Amen. That's how Christians ought to vote. Christians need to vote like Christians. And here's how we vote. We pick this up right here. I don't care what party it is. I don't care what candidate it is. But you vote according to the Word of God. And you trust God that He'll put His hand on our nation. We don't vote our pocketbook. We vote what God's Word says. And if you can't do that, the altars are open. Amen. Now we can open the Bible. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I heard a preacher say, and I've said this before, I don't pick them, I just preach them as God sends them. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I want to argue with God. I said, God, I don't want to preach that. I hate to admit this, but I keep a record. I look back and say, well, when's the last time I preached on that? Don't matter if it's what God wants. Said this one time, I heard a preacher, he said he got up and he preached the same message for so many weeks. He said, the deacons wanted to meet with me, and they said, well, when are you going to preach something different? He said, when y'all start doing that, and I'll move on to another one. Now, I tell you what, I'm glad to be here. This is an easy church to preach in. It's an easy church to worship God in because the Spirit of God is here. But this is something that's on my heart this morning. Here's the title of the message. There is a cause. There is a cause. Or this, there is a reason. You know, there's a reason for us to come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. There is a reason when we have a fall festival or a WANA or a wild game banquet to get up here and work and give things to people that you may never see again. But why? Because you may be the only hands, the only feet, the only picture of Jesus that they'll ever see. And people need to know, just like that Vietnamese child holding that bread, that there is hope for tomorrow. And that's what we want to get into as we get into this word this morning. Now, I got a little bit of reading to do, but I know you might know this story or understand it. It's the story of David and Goliath. But I want us to be able to see and understand some things from the Word of God as we open the Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the first verse. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered themselves together, their armies to battle. They were gathered together at Succoth, belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah and Espedim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched in the valley of Elah. They set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on one mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." I want you to see two sides. I want you to see a division, and I want you to see a valley in the middle. And I want you to understand something, that sometimes when there's a battle or sometimes when there's a choice to be made, and here's what sometimes people say, "Well, I'm just going to remain neutral." That's kind of what they thought back in World War II when, you know, Hitler began to march down the streets and he took this one over here and he cast them in prison and nobody said anything. And he went and he took this one and he cast him in prison and nobody said anything. And man said, "Well, he came and he got my neighbor, and you know, I was beginning to get a little concerned, but they took them and nobody said anything." He said, "But then I got really concerned because they were knocking on my door and there was nobody left to help me." That's what happens when Christians don't stand up and act like Christians and vote like Christians. You can't remain neutral. There's a battle, there's a valley, and it's going on sometimes whether you like it or not. It says, "And there went a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." Now his spear's head weighed 20 pounds. And if you know anything about kinetic energy, it doesn't take a whole lot of force based upon the weight. This was a powerful, fearsome man that anyone who looked at him, and we can see it in the story, would be afraid of him. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we, all of our army, every bit of our country will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, you will be our servants and serve us.'" In other words, "What's the use in all these people dying?" he said. "Why don't you just pick you one?" But when they looked at him and they looked at the power and they looked at his strength, there was not a man. "And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went down among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of these 3 sons were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. But David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, 'Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge.' Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as was the host was going forth to fight, and he shouted for the battle. And here he is, and a lot of times this is kind of the way it is. He was young, he's energetic, he's shouting for the battle, you think, just like his brothers did. Well, he's just a boy. He's full of pride of heart, and he's here, and he doesn't even understand what's going on. I want y'all to stop for just a minute and realize, and young people, I want y'all to understand something. The zeal that you have to serve God is great, and God can use it, and don't ever lose that. Don't lose it because somebody older than you says, well, they're just ruddy little, like they said of David, he's just a ruddy little lad, or they called him actually a stripling. God has great things for you to do. Church, God has great things for us to do. And if we'll get willing and follow and sometimes get some zeal of the things of God about us. Sometimes people say to me, they say, why do you get so excited when you get up to preach? Last Sunday, when these singers were here, I was enjoying it. But I just about could not sit there. I wanted to get up and preach so bad, but it's not always expedient. But I am excited about the things of God and what God is doing. And here's why I get excited, because I'm not lost. I'm not lost, and I'm not going to hell, and it doesn't matter what happens in this world. I'm going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. All of my sins are cast behind his back. You start thinking about the things you've got to get excited about, and you'd be like David, and you'd shout for the battle. It says, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. It was army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words. And look at the last part of this verse. It says, and David heard them. Now, he didn't just hear them with his ear, but he heard them with his heart. When he heard the words, it was like, well, you know, we hear things all the time, but are you hearing them with your heart? Do they change you? Does it come down inside of you and cause you to want to do something? It says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, they fled from him and were very afraid. And the men of Israel said, have we seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him and give him great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why hast thou come up hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And then the 29th verse, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know what it's like when you got older brothers? I can remember I got a younger brother. He's 10 years younger than me, but by the time he was 14, he was bigger than I was. I remember one time I was thinking about it the other day because I got two boys that are 5 years apart. And I told Matthew, I said, one day your days of picking on Luke are going to be over. And it's getting close because Luke's about big as him now. But I don't want that. You know, we don't want that. But, you know, y'all understand that. You know, I remember standing out in front of the church, and my brother, he was about 14. He was already bigger than I was. One of the deacons, I was doing something to my brother. He said, you're going to quit picking on him. One day he's going to get you. And I bucked up, and I said, he'll never whip me. Well, guess what? Wasn't long, he was a whole lot bigger than me. Well, here they are. They're looking at David, and all they could say is, you know, it's your pride. It's your pride. But he asked the question. He said, what I've done, is there not a cause? Remember the words that we read, and we were in the 23rd verse. It said, when Goliath spoke and he challenged the people, and when the people heard it, David heard those words. But it caused something to change inside of David. You see, the question this morning is, the message is, there is a cause. And he said, what I have now done, is there not a cause? And here's what I want you to see as we look at David. Number one, David, when he heard the words, was awakened to the cause. He was awakened to the cause. And here's why. He was awakened by the adversary. You see, when he heard the words, it moved him. It shook him when he heard them. He looked at the adversary, and here's what I want to understand. The adversary was big. He was powerful. He had a big sword. He had a big spear, but he also had a big mouth. And sometimes what happens amongst Christians is we serve God. We serve God quietly. It's like when you go somewhere and you see somebody. Have you ever been in those places where you walk in and there's somebody that's just being rude to everybody? You know, you go to the gas station. They're breaking in line. They're running their mouth. They're acting out. And they're being mistreating the people. I know what you want to do in the flesh. You want to be the corrector of the problem. About what you do as a Christian, because of meekness and because of godliness, you step back. But here's David, and he's seeing the people of God being abused. He's seeing the people of God being mistreated. And when he hears it, he is awakened by the adversary. I guess the question this morning, are we hearing? I'll tell you a little story. One time it was me, and I guess it was Matthew. We were down in South Fulton County, and we were on some hunting property, and we were riding a four-wheeler, and we came up. I was riding the property line trying to get familiar with the property, and we came up a hill, and I saw something. I saw a tree that was running out this way, and there was a drop cord under the tree, and it was tied in a hangman's noose, and there was a ladder under the drop cord, and there was a cup from the Quick Trip sitting right over there. I guess the person was going to have their last drink. I don't know, but as I came around through there, it seemed like, because of the scene, that we scared somebody off. And when I saw that rope and I saw that ladder and I saw what was going on, and Matthew was just a boy and he began to ask me, I didn't explain everything that was going on, but I took the time that I climbed that tree and I got that drop cord down and I tied that drop cord to that rope and I drug it out. And you know what I was thinking? Somebody somewhere needs help. Somebody somewhere needs something from God. I want to tell you something today. We got an enemy that's shouting against us. Don't take it for granted, because we can come into a church house and still worship. There are people that are right now voting to get you to where you can't stand for what you believe in. They want to stop you. And when I hear what's going on around the county, and I hear the trouble and the things on this end of the Silver Comet Trail and what's happening on this end of the Silver Comet Trail, if you don't think there's crime in Pauling County, get with one of these policemen in our church and just ask them what's going on. The drug problem, I don't understand it. But they say you can go up and down every street in this county and there are drug houses and they know where they're at. But they got to be able to have certain things go just perfect for them to be able to go in and do something about it. You know, I'll tell you what, Christians, we need to be awakened to the cause and we need to be awakened by the adversary. And here's why you cannot remain neutral. Because if the front line is overrun, if the doors of the church were staying together, they'd be at your house. Because I may be the one standing between them and my children. You see, he was awakened by the adversary. He also was awakened by the anxiety. If you look at the 24th verse, it talks about the people fled from Goliath, and they were sore or very afraid. And they asked the question, have you seen him? Have you seen how fierce he is? Have you seen how powerful he is? And I want to tell you something, folks. The enemy's not to be made light of or made fun of. If you understand the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and Peter wrote this from experience, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and that's you. You know, we come in here, the house of the Lord, on Sunday morning, and we teach Sunday school. And we have Awana. And we, you know, do we really take it seriously enough to know when we send our children out these doors what kind of world we're sending them out into? Out into a world that's anti-God. My son, a couple of weeks ago, got up here and spoke before the church to talk about how the professors at the school just pound and pound and pound liberalism. And they make fun of Christianity. They make fun of the things of God. And they make light of and pump. Sometimes, even coming in here, people sit in church and they laugh at me when I preach. But I want to tell you something. This is real. This is serious. Life is short, and eternity is long. And just like we talk about the ladder, we talk about the drug problems, there are many that are troubled and afraid. And here's what they need when they come in the house of God. They need to see people that are stable, people that are trusting God, people that are living for God. And when they come to the altar, people that can come pray with them and ask the Lord on their behalf to help them. Well, here's David. He's just a young boy. But he's awakened by this adversary. He hears these words. And he looks around him at these men, and they're afraid, and they don't understand, they don't know. They go to battle week after week for 40 days, hearing this defiant Goliath coming out before them. What they needed to understand is there's hope. See, they were awakened by the adversary. They were awakened by the anxiety. He was also awakened by this, by the apathy. You see, for 40 days, there's Goliath coming down into the battle. And surely he looks strong, and he is. His weapons are fearsome, and they are. But for 40 days, he mocks the people, and he mocks God. You see, he was awakened by the apathy because no one was doing anything about the enemy. You see, in the latter part of the 26th verse, David says this, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, here's why he said that. Here's what I want us to understand. When we fight in a battle as Christians, we do not stand alone. We stand together as Christians, but I want to tell you something. You don't go anywhere if you're saved by the grace of God, that God does not go with you. You know, what we need to do, and this is something I think is very important, and I'll tell you what, you got to be saved by the grace of God to go to heaven, okay? A lot of people say, well, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and I'm sealed to the day of redemption. That's what we preach. But here's where we're missing it. We're not surrendered. There's a difference. You see, if you surrender, what you'll decide is this. You come to the altar and you give everything to God and you say, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want for my life. Wherever I live, young people, it's this. Whoever I marry, it's whatever job I've got, it's whatever, God, you have a plan for my life. I've surrendered. I'm going to live for you. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I am not the same as I used to be, and I won't live that way anymore. You see, what we're missing today is we're missing people that say, Lord, send me. We're missing people that say, I am willing to fight in this battle. Missing people to say, Lord, show me someone that I can help. And I'll tell you something. You know what the best thing to help you with your problem is? Find somebody's got one worse and help them. You know, sometimes here's what Christianity is, and here's what ministry is. And this, I'm just going to be honest. When I come in here every Monday night to celebrate recovery, Brother Tommy, and I see people and we try to help them and we try to help them and we try to help them, and when they don't listen and they don't listen and they don't listen, you know what, Brother Ken, I preach some of their funerals. I preach funerals of people that are young that should be here today serving God. I've seen people go out into eternity because they wouldn't pay attention. They wouldn't listen. What we ought to do is get busy serving God. Everybody's got a ministry. Everyone. Amen. See, Goliath was a liar. And the devil, he's a liar. And what he wants us to do is be afraid and believe that the power of the enemy can keep us from being able to have victory. But that is absolutely not true. You see, there was a cause, and David was awakened to the cause. But here's the next thing. When he saw it, and a lot of us see it, don't we? We see what's going on. You see the commercials, and it's just like you can't even watch reruns, which is about all I watch anyway, without them coming on there. And you got this little guy comes on the end. And he said, if I'd have had insurance, I could have got the best help possible. Y'all probably all seen that commercial. Is that true? No. No. Because the best help possible is Jesus. You see, we see the cause. But the next is we must accept the cause. See, David accepted the cause. in the 32nd verse, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now here he is, just a ruddy little lad, a youth. And as Saul begins to speak to him, he says, "Now David, this man is a man of war from his youth, but you're just a youth." Well, why did David, as a very young man, come and say, "I'm going to go fight"? It may have been because nobody else was going. You know, the guy that started the Salvation Army, my understanding is he wanted to be a missionary, and they said, "Well, you can't go. You can't go. You don't have the equipment. You don't have what it takes." You know, I've heard people, and I've heard this before, it's the way some churches are. You know, if you don't have a degree of certain type, they won't even interview you for a job. It's a job. Okay, but I've also heard those same churches, preachers get up and they talk about the seminary professor and how they didn't even believe in the virgin birth. They didn't believe in the sinless life of Christ. What good does it do you to be educated by a pagan thinking you're going to stand in a pulpit and preach the word of God? I tell you what we need. We need somebody to say, "I believe this book and I'm going to serve God. I believe it from cover to cover and I'm not going to quit because there's a roaring giant outside the door." See, nobody was going. See, he accepted the cause. And here's why: because he understood the purpose of the battle. Do you understand the purpose of the battle? See, the enemy, Goliath, was angry, and he was threatening the things that are most precious to the people. Now, I want to tell you something around my house, and I know I'm getting old. I know I do. I look in the mirror and I say, "Who in the world is that?" Looking that way, things are the same as long as you get in the right spot, you know. But looking this way, it's different. And folks, I feel different. But I tell you something I still got. If Goliath was in my front yard and he was thinking he's going to come in my front door, there'd be something supernatural come on me. And I tell you what it would be. It'd be the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because all God sometimes wants us to do is stand up and be willing to stand and do what we're supposed to do. Until we get willing to stand up and do it, we're not going to have the power of God poured on us if we're running. Amen. See, the enemy was threatening the things that mattered most. There was a battle over here. They were on this mountain. They were on this mountain. And they would meet in the valley. But what happened? If they come down that valley and they overrun this hill, you know what's next? It's houses with mamas. Houses with babies. Houses with young people. All the things that we love. That's why sometimes we got to stand and fight. Because the enemy wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our churches. And he's threatening our children. And let me tell you something, and I know we're living in a world that's changing every day, okay? We're getting close to the return of Christ. The Bible talks about in the last days, many will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. That's why we can't do nothing without that little phone. That's why we got that iPad, that TV, that airplane, all the things that 100 years ago did not exist. If mama and daddy don't stand up and fight Goliath, how are the kids not going to know what to do? You see, he understood the purpose of the battle, and he accepted the cause because he had a passion about being in the battle. You see, it mattered. And here's what we need to believe. He believed that God could deliver. He knew the dangers that if no one stood against the enemy, what the enemy could do. Remember when David was standing there and he was talking to Saul and he said, "Well, you can't go, you're just a boy." And he said, "Well, I was out keeping my father's sheep and a bear came and God delivered me from the bear. I was out keeping my father's sheep and a lion came and God delivered me from the lion." He said, if God comes, and he will, because I believe he will and I trust him, he'll deliver me from the giant. You know, sometimes in our lives as Christians, we don't like it, but I tell you why you've been fighting a bear and a lion. It might be because there's a giant in your future. And you got to learn how to trust God. And you got to learn how to follow God and be obedient to God. Or else that giant will overrun you and you'll be in shambles and you'll be defeated. Now, you'll still be saved. But I tell you, the most miserable place for any Christian is after the giants jumped on you and whooped you. He can't have you if you trust God. He was passionate about this battle because this battle mattered. Sometimes I tell my son, and I know what my limitations are, okay? I wouldn't want to arm wrestle any of you young men over there, especially not that right there. But I used to could. But my mind and my heart is still there. And I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about this church. And if the enemy comes out there, I guarantee you, and I've said this before, we got a safety committee here, and we got a committee here that deals with security. I say, I'm not saying this because I'm a he-man, but I will guarantee you, if there was somebody who rose up and go harm anybody in this church, I'd be the first one in front of them. Why? Because I have the passion. Now, David, he was young and he was strong, but he had already learned that God would deliver him. What we're missing is the passion for the things of God. I want to tell you why. Because the drug houses are growing. Because the opposition is growing. Because those that are against the things that you and I stand for and believe, they're growing. But I'll tell you where the victory's at. The victory for us as the children of God, and the Bible talks about this, and I'm going to get right back to the message in a minute. As Brother Larry would have it, this is a rabbit trail right here. In the last days, the Bible talks about that there's going to be a great falling away. You know what that means? That means people are going to get to the point that they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not being able to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear no real preaching. They want to just be able to feel good when they come to the house of God. And then they got everything else in the world to do except for serve God. That's a falling away from the truth. You go to Europe and you see what's happening to the churches where the Great Reformation occurred, where the revival came through and changed the land. They're being turned into mosques and they're being sold and turned into stores and things like that because there's no revival in the land. But the Bible also talks about this. There'd be a great outpouring of His Spirit. That's why even in the midst of a time when there is a falling away, I tell you what, God has promised us that He would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we cannot contain. So we can come into the house of God and we can still have Holy Ghost filled services. We can still feel the power of God. We can still see people saved and we can still worship the Lord and feel His presence in our place of refuge from the world. And when our children go out, they don't have to go out defeated and fearing Goliath, but they can go out like David. And they can believe because of what we've instilled in them and what we've lived in front of them and what we believe is important that there is a cause and they can stand because God is with us and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Because of the Lord. Remember, it wasn't about David. It was about Him. Next, David advanced the cause. What did David do? He sees Goliath out there and he says, I'll go fight. And sometimes this is the way it is. He did it in spite of those who opposed him. See, they questioned David. In the 28th verse, they questioned his motive. You know what his brother said? They said, well, you're just full of pride. That's why you're doing that. Well, do it for the Lord. Remember, I've made a comment here, and I believe it's true, and it's not because I made it, because it's true. I heard it from another preacher that said it was true. He said, there's no telling what you can do for God if you don't care who gets the credit. David didn't want to go defeat Goliath, so he could say, my name's David. He wanted to defeat Goliath because the people were afraid. He wanted to defeat Goliath because the enemy was approaching and no one was doing anything about it. They questioned his motive. You know what else they questioned? They questioned his maturity. They said in the 33rd verse, it says, well, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. But I want to tell you something. If God's called you, you obey God. I remember one time I was working up in Dallas and the guy that I was working with up there, he went to a church right up there across from the hospital. Paulding County Hospital, when it was up there, the small hospital. He got saved. But you know, he got so saved that he offended people. He'd get up, they'd let him preach, and he'd just preach, he'd preach. Pastor finally come to him and said, "Son, now you're going to have to calm down. You know, you're just too excited about Jesus." And the boy looked at the pastor, he said, "Why don't you get excited about Jesus?" I want to tell you something, young people. Get excited about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of him. They questioned his maturity. They also questioned his method. You know, here's David, and he's going out there. And he said, "I'm going to go fight with him." What'd they do? Can you imagine Saul, if you understand the scripture, Saul, when he was elected to be king, the Bible says he was head and shoulders above any other man. Okay, so if you see him in a crowd, you see him. Well, here's David, he's a 17-year-old little boy. What are they doing? They're putting this armor on him. It's kind of like, you know, when you put on a T-shirt and it goes to your knees. Yeah. And your mama says, "I'll wear it, son, it looks fine." He put that armor on, he said, I can't fight with this because I haven't proved it. You know what he was saying? He said, "I can't trust in the things of the world. I can't trust in man's strength or what I can conjure up or manufacture." And they said, "Well, what are you going to take?" And he reached and he got a little old slingshot. And when he got down there to the battle, you know what he did? And numbers mean something in the Word of God. He went and he got 5 smooth stones. 5 represents faith. Put them 5 in his bag, and that's all it took. You know why? I tell you what you fight with. You fight with what God's already given you. Right. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I can't testify. I don't know all that scripture. I can't quote those verses." You don't have to. Here's what you tell them. Tell them what God did for you. Right. That's all you got to say. See, David advanced the cause. Well, how did he advance the cause? If you go over to the 45th verse, I'll tell you how. He trusted in the Lord. Just trust the Lord. You know, that's what we need to do at Hiram First Baptist Church. We need to trust God and ask God to guide us, to lead us, that we would be a place that, here's what's so important, and I've had people tell me this. They say, "I've been to ministries around the county. I've been to different Celebrate Recovery." He said, "I tell you what somebody that's really in trouble is looking for. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for somebody that's real." I heard a story recently of a Celebrate Recovery in this county where one of the leaders began to try, supposedly, to help a man get off of alcohol. And that's a problem when you're addicted to alcohol. But rather than helping him get off of alcohol, one of the leaders of the Celebrate Recovery helped him get addicted to methamphetamines. Let me tell you something. Goliath ain't coming here. Ain't having it. People are looking for authenticity. They know if you're real or not. They know if the preaching's real. They know if the Spirit's real. They know if when you say you love them, if it's real. See, here's what he did. He trusted the Lord. He told this Philistine, he said, "You come out here at me with a sword and a spear and a shield." He said, "But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day," here's what he said before it ever happened, "will the Lord deliver you, thee, into my hand, and I will smite you. And I will take your head from off you." And here's what that means. Cut off the problem. I heard a preacher preach one time, cut the head off the problem. There's too many times that we just get close enough and we don't finish it. I want to tell you something. Sometimes you just need to get the rot out of your life. Yeah. Yeah. He said, "I'm going to finish you because God is going to deliver you into my hand." Well, the enemy, he didn't believe it, but he found out. You look at the 48th verse. Says a Philistine, I can just about see him coming down against David, snickering and laughing. He comes down. David rises up to meet him. And the scripture said in the 48th verse that David hasted. That means he ran. He hurried and ran toward the Philistine. Put his hand in his bag and he took out one of those stones. Round and around. And when he turned it loose, Now, you know, he did his part, and we got to do our part. One time I preached a message here on if. Here's what if is. If we do our part, God will do his part. You know, David, I don't believe he's really that good a shot. Probably a pretty good hunter. But I believe when he turned it loose, here's what happened. God guided it. And God got behind it. And God pushed it. And God put it right in the spot that it needed to be so that it could defeat that great enemy that wanted to destroy the people of God. And if we do our part, God will do his part. If we stand and do our part, God will do his part. If we witness and if we serve him and if we come here and we're obedient to him, I want to tell you something. There's no limit to what God can do if we're willing to open up and just let him have his way. Now, after the enemy was defeated, here's what he did. David advanced the cause because he encouraged God's people. It says in the men, in the 52nd verse, and it says, and the men of Judah, of Israel and Judah, arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even to Gath and to Ekron. You know sometimes what you need, just like David? You need somebody just to be obedient to God. I made the comment this morning about if God gives you something to do, do it. I want to be a servant, and that's what I am. It's not about me. There's somebody here in this house this morning that God may be working in your life, that he's got something for you to do, and you say, well, it's just such a little thing. I want to tell you, it's not a little thing if you're doing it for God. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, it matters. And I want to tell you, it matters that we're in this battle. And it matters as Christians that we stand together. You know, I said something about Goliath being in my yard. What if Goliath's in your yard, Brother Tommy? And you call me. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to come. Goliath's at your house, Brother Perry, and you call me, I'm coming. We need to stand together and we need to support one another and stand for the things of God. And let me tell you something. We don't have to be ashamed that we're Christians. We don't have to be ashamed that we believe the Bible. We don't have to be ashamed or back up for anybody, for any professor, for any teacher, for any doctrine, for anybody in Hollywood. What do they know anyway? Now, if we look within, here's what we need to do. And I'm going to be done. And it's early. If your clock set right. Here's what we need to do. We need to trust the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. Sometimes I'm afraid. I'm just going to be honest with you. God put a call on my life to preach since a young man. But it scares me. It scares me sometimes, Brother Ken, because I don't know what God's going to ask me to do. People say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be obedient. Well, what if God says you need to go to a Remember one time in Bible college, a boy said, God's calling me to Madagascar. Now, I was a little older in the Lord than him. I said, praise God, Lord, thank you for calling him and not me. But I tell you, the only thing you can do is trust the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. All we can do is trust him. And if we know he's Lord and he's God, then we have to believe that his will is better than our will. And sometimes you just got to step out on faith. We need to do this too. You need to know that you can defeat the enemy. Now, why does the enemy roar? Why does the lion roar? It's to scare. That's all. You know, I used to be a pretty bad worrier. I'm better now than I used to be. Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Got those words on my wall. I need them. Saw a sign one time that said 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. The enemy roars and we hear it and we see him out there. But what we need to do is know that the same, here's why, That, why that lion and that bear are so important. The same God that delivered me from the lion, the same God that delivered me from the bear, He will deliver me from the giant. You can. And like the song says, onward Christian soldiers, keep marching for God. And here's what else we need to do, and I want to do this morning. We need to encourage the people of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, not everybody's going to want the things of God. They don't want to believe the Bible. Here's why people don't want to believe the Bible. Now I'm going to ask them to get ready with a song. You know, if you believe this book, then you got to believe what this book says about you. That's why people don't want it. Because if what this book says about me is true, I'm a sinner. And without the grace of God being poured on my soul, like the song that I heard Reuben with the McCamey sing this week, he said, I don't really know how to sing much. He said, I just hope that the message in the song will bless you. And he started singing that song out of the red book, His Blood Is On My Soul. And when he started singing that, there was something very familiar began to take place in the cab of the truck. Spirit of God got to moving, and I knew what that song was about, Brother Kim. You got to surrender to God. You got to give your life to Him, and you got to say, well, I don't know if I want to surrender. Well, you're going to struggle till you do. If you believe this book, believe what this book says about you. What it says is that you need Jesus. But it also says that God has a plan for your life and He loves you more than He can even describe. And here's the encouragement this morning. There is a cause and there is a battle. And don't think because things are good for just a little bit that it's over. It's not. Christians need to stand for what they believe in. They need to stand up for what's true. And we need to come in here and be faithful and serve God so that just as I said, when people come in those doors, they see something that's authentic, that's real. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to rise to your feet. God spoke to you this morning and spoke to your heart. You say, well, I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. Would you come make sure? Come and make sure. Maybe you're here and you're saved this morning and you've never come to the point in your life that you just absolutely surrender to God. If you want peace beyond measure, surrender. Because when you surrender, that peace will come and God will set you on a course, a plan for your life. And you'll begin, as I've heard testimony after testimony, to see. And I've heard people say, I wish I'd have done this a long time ago. You hear this morning, God spoke to you. As they sing, as the song is played, would you please come? Would you move?
Sometimes my life just don't make sense.